Give you honor, worthy Jesus. My own. was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began.
Can we sing about His grace? Yes.
Oh, Your grace, so washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with You. Oh, Your love, it's Your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was ransomed, faithfully bore.
Can we declare it?
Oh, He canceled my debt. He called me His friend. Yeah. Oh, He just was arrested. Displayed on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost.
Thank you, Lord. We love You. We bless You. We praise you today, O Lord. We thank you so much, our Heavenly Father, for your abundant blessings poured out upon us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for new life in you today. Thank you for the promise not only of joy and peace and gladness in this life, but thank you, Lord, for the promise of everlasting life, for the joy of knowing that you have called us into your presence forever. Thank you, Lord, for desiring, oh God, to meet with us today, Lord. Your heart longs, oh God, for fellowship with your people. We count it a great privilege this morning to be able to stand here together as the family of God here at First Assembly, experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit, acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives and in our midst, understanding, oh God, the precious realities of our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today. And God, we ask you, we invite you, we welcome you to do your work in our midst this morning, to have your way in our lives, oh Lord. Some of us, Father, have carried into this place heavy burdens that are upon our hearts. We need your touch today, Lord. Some of us, Lord, need a physical touch. Others need a spiritual and emotional touch, Lord. We know that you specialize, oh God, in diagnosing exactly what we need. You know us from the inside out, Lord. You know us better than we know ourselves. Sometimes, Lord, we think we know what we need, but we really don't have any clue. But Lord, you're the one who searches our hearts. You see us where we are. And God, you desire to do a lasting work in us and for us today. And so we just surrender ourselves to you today. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. And we confess today, Lord God, that when we don't know what to do, you know what to do, Lord. So we give it all over to you, Lord. Thank you so much for undertaking and intervening, Lord, in the midst of our situations. Father, I thank you that even sometimes when we make our own messes, you desire to come in with your forgiveness and mercy and grace and lead us again to a place of just experiencing your favor and your blessing, Lord. None of us are worthy in ourselves, Lord. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we have confidence to enter into your presence today, Lord. And so we ask, Father, right now that you would just come and visit us in a special way. Remind us of things, Lord, that we need to know, need to hear, and need to remember, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, for the good work of your Holy Spirit taking place in our lives today. Thank you for this beautiful congregation of believers today, Lord. It's a joy to celebrate together this morning. We love you, and we thank you, O Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said a good amen. Amen. Good morning, friends and family. And welcome to church this morning. It's good to be back in church today with you. Oh, my. So grateful today for the help of the Lord. Pastor Bob still looks a little sickly this morning, but no. No, we thank the Lord for his touch and his blessing upon us in so many ways. And we're glad for another new day, amen? The Lord's mercies are new every morning, declared the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. His mercies are new every morning. And oh, how we need that, amen? So thank you for being here this morning. Look around you today and just smile at everybody. Greet one another, please, before you're seated. And welcome everybody to the house of the Lord this morning, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Bob, do we have any further announcements for the day? All right, let's stand together one more time for to sing before the preaching of the word this morning. Ah, one of my favorite songs in the songbook. I stand amazed in the presence of the Lord. Hiding in his place.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene. How he could love me, the sinner. sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden into Calvary and suffered and died alone. And we're singing, how marvelous, oh,
wonderful love we experience from our Heavenly Father. In fact, our title this morning, I think Heidi must have been aware of the title. You were not aware of the title. All right, our title this morning in our third lesson in this Summer Splash series, Love Like an Ocean. We've already examined over the last couple of weeks peace like a river and joy like a fountain. And we're talking about splashing in the good waters of the Lord. Amen. And I was reminded recently of that powerful passage in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 47 in the Old Testament, where Ezekiel sees a vision of the future temple of God. It's the millennial temple, or it's the heavenly temple. It's a vision of a spiritual temple in the future for Ezekiel, and as he sees that vision from the temple, a river is flowing out and flowing from the temple out into the land. And Ezekiel says that he was told to go out and measure. They were going to measure how deep these waters were that were flowing forth from the temple. And they measured part of the water, and it was ankle deep. They measured a little further, and it was waist deep. Ultimately, they got out into the waters where Ezekiel said the waters were deep enough to swim in. Now, how many of you can swim here today? Yeah, I can't swim. I had one experience where somebody tried to teach me to swim when I was a youth pastor years ago. And all I can say about that story is it's a miracle that I'm your pastor today. Because a group of our young people almost drowned me in St. Louis in an attempt to teach me to swim. And with a guarantee that if I would jump in, they would be sure that I was okay. Now, who was the foolish one in that? Yours truly. And Paul Shepperly, are the Shepperlys here? Paul Shepperly, and some of those kids, they said they loved me as their youth pastor. Man, they almost drowned me that day. But I love to get in the water. How many of you love the water? And we love the rain today. We're thankful for the rain. Ezekiel saw that vision of that great river flowing out and filling the whole land with life. You know, the waters were living waters, and they brought life to the land. And as I thought about that river, I thought, you know, as we think about these sermons with these maybe silly little titles for the month of July, peace like a river, and joy like a fountain, and love like an ocean, and next Sunday, Lord willing, hope like a hurricane. As we think about these things, we're reminded of the goodness of God in our lives. Amen. And the blessing of experiencing the spiritual blessings and qualities that can only be available through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. I want you to know that Jesus paid a high price that we might be saved, have our sins forgiven, have the promise of heaven and eternal life. And in the midst of that, Jesus paid the price so that we could experience his blessings in the here and now. I confess to you this morning humbly that I am a blessed man. I experience the blessings of God in so many ways. And I understand that that's a result of God's wonderful grace and mercy. So we're thankful for God's peace like a river. Would you say amen? How many of you are glad for God's joy? Say amen. Now today we're going to look at God's love. Love like an ocean. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. Paul, the apostle, prays for the Ephesians. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep. Doesn't that sound like an ocean? How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Would you say amen? This morning we drop ourselves down into the middle of one of the powerful prayers prayed by the Apostle Paul for the churches he had planted and ministered in down through the years. Paul was at heart a missionary and a church planter and a pastor. And as we read the letters of Paul in the New Testament, which are letters written to specific local churches throughout the region of the New Testament world, we hear the heart of the Apostle Paul. And on many occasions in his letters to these local churches, the Apostle Paul breaks forth in a prayer for that local church. This is my prayer for you. Do you know this morning that every good pastor prays for his church people? Yeah. And do you know this morning that every good church people prays for their pastor? Gotta have a better amen. And Paul prayed some powerful prayers for the churches that he had planted in the New Testament. As he's writing back to the Ephesians, he's writing to a church that he had planted a number of years earlier. Let's see, 52 AD was the church plant. He's writing back in about 60 AD, so it's been about 8 years earlier that he planted this church. And as he's writing back to the Ephesians, Paul is remembering the 3 years that he had spent pastoring and leading that church at Ephesus. And it was a powerful church, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the miracles of God. And now we're finding that Paul has a prayer to pray for them. And Paul's prayer, as he prays this prayer, and there are other prayers in this same letter. In fact, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we'll look at Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 for the same church. But this particular prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 is a prayer that the Ephesians might experience the love of God, that they might come to grips with the love of God. What that means, that they might really have an appreciation for that, and that they might be able to live in the fullness of what it is to know that God really loves me. Okay? We say that a lot. We say God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We say God loves everybody. God is love. All of those things. But to be able to experience that personally and spiritually is a work of God, a work of God's revelation into our hearts, so that suddenly we become aware, our minds, our hearts, our spirits become open to experience what God really believes about us and how God really feels about us. Our God is a God who feels toward us. Maybe it's hard for us to understand that God is a feeling God, but God feels toward us with the feeling, the sense, the actions, the commitment of love. And Paul prays that we would be able to experience that great love in this prayer today. The key to the fullness of God in your life, the key to really understanding that you're rich in the Lord, is found in this prayer. It's in really understanding God's unconditional, absolute love for you and embracing that love and living in it and building your life upon God's love. We sing a song that talks about building our lives upon God's love. And in the realization and understanding and appreciation of God's love for us. Thomas Brooks, the English Puritan preacher, wrote a book in 1652 that I got a hold of years ago. Actually, I don't have the book now, but a little ancient book entitled Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And in that little book, Thomas Brooks named 10 of Satan's most successful strategies against Christians. Strategy number 3 was causing saints to doubt God's love for them. Causing saints to doubt God's love for them. If the enemy can cause you to doubt God's love for you, he can keep you from entering into the fullness of God's plan for your life. And so getting a grip on God's love is powerful. And that's what Paul's prayer was for his faith family in our scripture today. That's our prayer, for my prayer for all of us here this morning, that we might really come to the understanding that God really loves us with a powerful and passionate love. Let's read the scripture again, and then let's take it and pick it apart for just a few moments this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. This is the prayer. I pray that you, being rooted, let's read it out loud together, please. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This morning I want to talk about grasping His love and growing in His love. As we think about getting a grip, getting a grasp on God's love, and sort of coming to face to face with it and realizing what it is, Paul is making aware to us today that that really requires a work of spiritual revelation. Nobody, no human being, no matter how smart you are, can in your own mind really understand anything about God. The truth is, we need God's revelation to understand any of His qualities. And to understand the love of God, Paul says, requires a spiritual work of revelation that takes place so that we come to grips with knowing something that in the natural is unknowable. Now, perhaps some of you on some occasion have experienced some revelation from the Lord, something the Lord showed you or revealed to you that you might not have known in any natural way. We know that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks about some gifts of the Holy Spirit that bring supernatural spiritual revelation on occasion to God's people. Jesus promised in the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit would show us things to come. He would bring revelation to us so that we could know things that in the natural were unknowable. Grasping God's love is not a matter simply of a natural understanding. It requires a spiritual understanding for it to really do us any good. So let's think about some processes through which we can grasp God's love and begin to understand it. The first word on the outline is the word comprehend. Comprehend. You know what it is to comprehend something. It's to understand it, right? And Paul prays this prayer. I pray that you may have what? Power to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now, right there, Paul acknowledges that for you to know this love that ultimately surpasses knowledge, there has to be power involved, spiritual power involved. When we think of power, we often think of the ability to do something. Power is we think of in the spiritual sense, in the physical strength, perhaps. But in this passage, Paul is talking about a spiritual slash mental awareness, a power to be able to understand something. When we read next week's passage, Lord willing, we're going to read this expression. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Think about that. The eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That suddenly you would come to a supernatural spiritual awareness. That takes a work of the power of God. Now, how many of you have ever prayed for wisdom from the Lord? Let me see your hand. I pray for wisdom regularly. I need the wisdom of the Lord. We need God's wisdom. When we pray for wisdom from the Lord, this is what we're praying for. We're praying that God would give our minds a boost of some kind of spiritual power that helps us to know what to do, what the right thing is, which direction to go, what decision to make, wisdom. This is a similar kind of spiritual power that affects our spiritual mentality, our knowing, our ability to know spiritually. I pray that you may have power to know this love that surpasses knowledge. We note then that the love of God is a limitless commodity. In fact, the love of God is so great, it's so large, it's so beyond us that it is unknowable. Paul says right here, God's love surpasses knowledge. It surpasses. It's bigger than our knowledge can take in. All right? And yet at the same time, Paul says that we have a limited comprehension. We can only understand certain things. And for that reason, we need this spiritual work. We need our minds to come alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God to do a work of revelation, of shining truth into our hearts and into our minds that helps us to come to this awareness. Oh, yeah, God really does love me. It's a supernatural comprehension, a supernatural knowing. It's knowing something that is beyond knowing. Sort of like, let's see if you've ever heard this expression. Sort of like peace that passeth understanding. What does that mean? It's the same thing as this. We don't understand it, but it's real. It's beyond us, but it works in us. Hallelujah. We don't know how it operates, but we sure do know that it does operate. Would you say amen? Anybody here ever experienced God's supernatural peace in the midst of some stormy situation in life? Sure you have. If you've been around at all, you know what it is to experience God's peace like that. Or God's joy even in the midst of a sad situation. Now Paul is talking about understanding this love that really requires revelation by the Holy Spirit. This love is spiritually discerned. It is knowing in mind, heart, and spirit the power and the reaches and the amazingness, the awesomeness of God's love for us. Paul says, I want you to begin to comprehend all of that. And if you're going to comprehend all of that, one of the processes that will help you as you try to comprehend God's love is to compute and calculate the measurements of God's love. Listen to this. These are familiar words. I pray that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how, look at these dimensions, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Paul says, I want you to begin to understand the dimensions of this thing. I want you to begin to measure and calculate these things. Let's think about these dimensions of God's love, wide and long and high and deep. Those are three-dimensional qualities that demonstrate that the love of God is a large, consuming thing. And so Paul applies these words. Let's think about the wideness of God's love. The love of God is wide as the world. Think about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to know God loves every human being who's ever lived. You say, well, I know some people that surely God does. No, God loves everybody. His love is a wide-reaching love that reaches to every imaginable kind of person. You know, there are different kinds of people in the body of Christ. Did you know that? Did you know that everybody in this church is not like you? Aren't you glad? Yeah? They're glad. I don't know how that works all together. God's love is a wide love. And it's a long love. It's long and lasting. Now let's ask the question this morning. Take a quick poll. How many of you have been living for the Lord Jesus, walking with the Lord? You've been saved, let's say, for longer than 10 years. Oh, most of you in the house today, longer than 10 years. How many in the house today have been a Christian believer, a follower of Jesus for longer than 25 years? Now we're seeing who... We're seeing how old people are in the congregation. Is there anybody here in this house today, you have been a Christian believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, for more than 50 years? Lift your hand. Oh my goodness, this is an old bunch. more than 50 years. Well, I have to say I consider myself a young person here today. But I myself have known the Lord since I was a child, and I'm a little over 35. And Paul says this love of God, it's wide as the world, and it's long and lasting. And I would suspect today that those of you who've lifted your hand to say that you have walked with the Lord for over 50 years, I just bet a lot of you would have a lot of testimonies about how God's love has stuck with you through thick and thin. How many of you've lived for the Lord a long time, but during those years, you've needed a lot of grace, you've needed a lot of mercy, you've needed forgiveness at times, yep, you've struggled and you needed the Lord to help bring you along. Sure you have. And thank God the Lord doesn't get tired of us and say, well, I'm sorry, you're just too much trouble for me. No, the Lord's love is a love that sticks with us. It's long and it's wide as the world. It's long and lasting. Third, it's a high and holy love. Paul says, I want you to discover how wide and long and high is the love of Christ. That love of Christ, that love of God is a high and a holy love. It is a pure love. It is a self-sacrificing love. It is a love that is free from any impure motives. I doubt if there's any human love that would ever stand the test of being absolutely perfect and free from selfish motives. Because after all, we're humans, right? In every experience of love that we experience in the human realm, human love, there's some little speck somewhere of selfish motivation, of whatever there might be. I'm not criticizing any of you personally this morning. I'm just saying none of us are perfect. Could have a better amen. And none of us love with a perfect love. We're growing, right? But God's love is high and holy. It is a perfect love. The fourth reality about God's love is it is a deep love. It's deep and devoted. God's love is this powerful quality that is rich and full. The ultimate measure of God's love is revealed in John 3:16 that we quoted a moment ago, that God so loved the world that he came the distance and bore the cross and paid the price, the length to which God reaches to us with his love demonstrates just how powerful and meaningful that love is. After all, look at me, everybody, look at me. God's love has had the power to change your eternal destiny, right? You were on your way to judgment and hell without God, but the grace and the love of God has changed the whole trajectory of your eternity. That is a powerful and effective love. As we think about God's great love, we have to consider God's lavish investment. He gave his own son as a demonstration of his love, the Son of God in heaven. Number two, we have to consider God's loving invitations, that he is continually after us, drawing us to himself. How many of you here, you are a born-again Christian, and you have accepted the Lord Jesus' invitation to come to him? How many of you, you are that today? If that's you today, then you've already received that invitation and accepted that invitation, but God continues to throw out invitations to you to draw close to him, to walk in his presence, to experience his blessings. I want you to know this morning that God wants a daily, significant relationship with every person in this room. a love relationship. We consider his lavish investment, his loving invitations, and we have to consider God's lofty intentions, what he desires for us and what he wants for us. I'll tell you what God wants for you ultimately is that you would be able to spend eternity forever in his presence in heaven. God wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to live in heaven with him for the next 42 trillion times 42 trillion times 42 trillion years. God wants the very best for you, doesn't he? And so as we comprehend his love, we compute and calculate his love. What are the marks and the dimensions and all of these attributes of his love that demonstrate to us that he really, that this is a real deal thing for us? The third ingredient to comprehending God's love is the act of collaboration among the people of God. This is a very interesting prayer that Paul prays, but listen to what he prays. I pray that you may have power. Look at the scripture. Together with what? I pray that you may have power together with all the saints to know this love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, Paul is saying the coming to a full awareness of the love of God is a collaborative effort for the body of Christ. I want you to come to know this together with all the saints. We work together to understand the love of God. That means sometimes we have convocations and congregations. We gather like we're gathering today. Are you here this morning? Are you here with your mind and your spirit intact this morning? Say, we're here gathered here today, and even this morning in this congregation, Heidi led us in a song. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is the love of God for us. We've already been singing about that today. Convocating and congregating. Experiencing the love of God involves conversations and communications. I urge the people of God, as I do on a regular occasion, to talk with one another about the goodness of God and the love of God, and not leave spiritual conversations in the church or in the Sunday school room, but let spiritual conversations take over the dinner table, right? Or the evening conversation at home, or the conversation between Christian friends out and about, or even conversations between two gossiping ladies. Or two gossiping men. Let the gossip talk turn into talk about the goodness of God. Right? Conversations and communications and connections and consensuses where we get together, we work together, we experience the love of God together. Sometimes even commemorations and celebrations where we're just praising God and worshiping God and singing about his love and rejoicing in the love of God, telling one another about how good God is. Grasping the love of God in Jesus is a corporate effort. We learn together in the classroom of the Holy Spirit. And as we focus together on God's love, iron sharpens iron, and as we teach and encourage and affirm one another, the love of God begins to become more and more obvious to us and in us and even through us. Right? And grasping the love of God, we eventually, hopefully, come to the place that Paul the Apostle himself came to in Romans chapter 8. When he said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, I'm persuaded none of that can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, I just come to the place in life where I know that 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 the love of God is wrapped all around me, and no power in this world can separate me from the love of God. Aren't you glad for God's love? Look at me, everybody. God's love will get you all the way home. Are you here? God's love will take you through the tough times. Amen. God's love will bring you to heaven someday. We grasp his love. And the second part of this prayer quickly is that we just need to grow in his love. We need to be firmed up. Paul says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Rooted and established in love. This is a picture of a whole life built in and on God's powerful love. Rooted in God's love, established in God's love. Notice when we think about that, that when we realize that we are rooted in God's love, we understand that every part of our salvation experience, our life, our spiritual lives, is growing from the love of God, right? We would never, you and I would not be who we are, where we are today, if we had not started out in God's love sometime all those years ago, maybe as a little child, when you prayed the sinner's prayer for the first time. By the way, thank God for all of our kids who experienced some powerful blessings from the Lord at kids camp this week. Some of those kids gave their hearts to Jesus. Some were filled with the Holy Spirit. Some really felt the presence of God in a special way. We thank God for the work of the Lord that takes place even in the lives of little children. Is there anybody here the Lord worked in your life in a knowable way when you were a child? Anybody here? I experienced that. As just a little child, I felt the presence of the Lord. And as just a little child, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And our very lives as spiritual believers are rooted in the love of God. I've told my testimony many times about being in church service down the little church at 900 Monroe Street here in Jefferson City when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and the preacher that Sunday night preached about the old rugged cross and God loving us so much that he sent Jesus, his son, to die. And on that Sunday night, I came and knelt right there where you're sitting, Teresa, and I cried out to the Lord as just a little bitty boy and asked the Lord to forgive me. I thanked the Lord for loving me and prayed that he would forgive me and be my Savior. And in my limited understanding back then, I sensed that God loved me. Here I am all these years later, I'm the preacher now preaching. I sense it today, even as I'm standing on this platform preaching the message to you today, I sense in my own heart that God really loves me. I'm so grateful for that. What would we do without the Lord? But he's been so good to us and so gracious. Paul says, I want you to be rooted in this love. I want you to be able to rest in this love and just be assured of it. I want you to respond to this love and live in it. And I want you to rise up in this love to take your full place as a child of God, not hindered by any doubts that the enemy would bring into your mind or spirit about whether or not God loves you. Listen, God loves you, so rise up to the full measure to which he is calling you. How many of you know that if God really loves you, then you become a candidate for the blessing and the favor of God? Yeah. So rise up into that. The assurance of God's unconditional love causes you to know who you are. You're a child of God, adopted, born into the family, bought with a price, a new creation, brought near to God, no longer slaves, but sons and daughters of the Most High God, heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, friends, listen to me. When it comes to the place where you are included in the will, then you have really become a part of the family. Is that right? And God has included us in the family. And he's brought us into the will. And we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ to the treasures of God. I want you to be firmed up in this with an awareness and assurance of God's love. Listen, there's no esteem builder that quite measures up to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God loves us even where we are. He wants us to bring us. I remember years ago, it was before I became the pastor, we had a billboard down here. Some of you will remember that. The billboard said this: First Assembly, come as you are, leave as you should be. Now, some of us thought that sounded a little arrogant, you know. Come as you are, leave as you should be. We're probably not going to repost that billboard anytime soon. But I heard someone say one time something that sounds similar. God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much for you to stay there. He wants to grow you and to bring you into the fullness of what he has for you. So as we grow in his love, Paul says, I want you to be firmed up. I want you to be filled up, that you may be filled to the measure. Listen to the last line of this prayer. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What in the world does that mean? That is a powerful expression, isn't it? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We're reading this from one of the simplest English translations. This is just a concept that is so large and beyond our understanding that we just really have to stand amazed that God wants to bring us into such a greater fullness and awareness in him, that ultimately he wants the very best, the very most, the very highest, the very chiefest, not cheapest, chiefest for us, that we may just be completely filled. Confidence in God's love inspires forward faith. When we know God loves us, we can move forward in him, right? If we wonder about that, we're always him-hawing. I almost said he-hawing, but that's not, no. If we really think, well, I don't know if God really loves me. I've done this, that, and the other. I don't know if God, I think God might still be mad at me. You know, the devil plays all those tricks on people's minds. Are you here? The devil plays tricks on people's minds, says, well, I think that God might still be holding that against me. You know, I had a, years ago, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but we had a minister friend that we really tried to, Pastor Bob and I both, and Pastor Van at the time, we really tried to, you know, minister to him and encourage him. But have you ever known someone who was very difficult to encourage? And he just, one time he said to me, while sitting in his living room with him, he said, I just feel like my ministry, you know, he had kind of his own little unique ministry. He said, I just feel like my ministry is cursed with smallness. I didn't even know what to say. I feel like my ministry is cursed with smallness. Sometimes people think, well, God just has something again. Sometimes people even get to the place where they say, well, I don't even know what it is, but I think God has something against me. So, for some reason, I never can really, I just don't think God really, you know, wants to bless. And people fall for the enemy's deception when the love of God is so powerful that if we will humble ourselves before him and just receive God's love, we will understand that that opens up brand new vistas of possibility for us. Confidence in God's love inspires forward faith. We can move forward in life when we know God loves us. And secondly, and lastly this morning, confidence in God's love invites freshness and fullness in our relationship with him. Because when we know God loves us, it gives us such a freedom and joy in drawing near to God. And it gives us, really knowing God loves us, really gives us this permission slip to claim the blessings of God, right? To lay hold on the promises of God. and just to begin to experience all of the good things the Lord has for us, and to walk daily in an assurance that says, I am His and He is mine. I pray today that God's love, like an ocean, will just baptize you afresh and anew today. And that you would be able to walk out, even out of the church service today and throughout this week and into the days ahead, with a fresh awareness, with a spiritual work taking place, like the spiritual blinders being removed from your eyes, so that you can begin to comprehend more than ever before that God loves you. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand together, please, everybody. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. I want to ask, first of all, if there's some of you here in church this morning, you have never received Jesus Christ into your life personally as your Savior. Maybe you've known about the Lord, but you don't have any kind of a real personal relationship with Jesus. I say to you this morning, that's what the Lord wants for you. He wants to draw you into His presence. He wants to change your life. He wants to forgive your sins, wash away all of your mistakes and failures, and just bring you into a place of just really experiencing His love and His favor in your life. That's what He wants. Look at me, everybody. God has no ill motives toward you. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. God doesn't want you to live in guilt and shame and fear and worry. He wants you to live in His peace and His joy, understanding that He loves you. These are God's desires toward you. So if you're here and you've never received Jesus into your life as your Savior, but you'd like to pray and do that today, would you lift your hand wherever you're standing? Across the room, hold your hand up high if that's you. Just wave it at me. I want to receive Jesus into my life today and become a follower of Jesus Christ. Anybody across the room, just hold your hand up high. Anyone at all? I'm going to look around for just a moment. How many of you here today would say, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord? And I'm so grateful for that. Lift your hand if that's you. Now, right now, I want to pray over every child of God in the house. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You would open the eyes of our understanding more and more to the fullness of Your desire to reveal Your love to us, that we might be able to walk in confidence in our relationship with You, that we might understand that the enemy has no power over us that can separate us from the great love of God demonstrated in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I pray today, Father, that we would be able just to swim around in Your love today, splash around in the love of the Lord today, this love that is high and wide and long and deep. May we have a fresh appreciation for that today. And Lord, even as we go this morning, may we spend the day just focusing and rejoicing in the great love of God for us. Thank You for these blessings today, Lord. And thank You for Your people gathered here this morning. I pray Your blessing upon everyone here. Father, I pray for Your blessing upon the Sunday school hour in just a moment, upon our second service today. May this Lord's day be a day filled and flooded blessings and goodness of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, everybody. Go in the love of the Lord. Amen.